I'm Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey, you guys.
Hi.
We're back. We're happy.
Hi.
Hey.
We missed you.
We missed you so much.
How are you?
How are you guys doing? How's your October? How was it?
Yeah.
How are things? How's life?
How have you been celebrating spooky season? How have you been in general? What are you doing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing under that?
What are you wearing under the
whore?
Dog?
You're naked under those clothes, aren't you?
You little shit.
Wow.
Well, we've had quite a month.
Yeah, it's been busy. We're excited to catch you up because holy shit.
Well, we'll start with the good things.
Yes.
It's been crispy here.
It's been so crispy. It's been good New England fall weather.
We had beautiful foliage.
We did. We had a cute little girls' weekend.
We did do that.
We have really enjoyed watching all of the leaves turn. I feel like they've lasted a long time this year.
Yeah, peak was early.
Peak
if you're a New Englander, you know this, that the peak kind of hit in September.
Yeah, but honestly,
but they've hung
they're
on.
Still hanging on, and I'm digging it.
We're not complaining. It makes
no.
It makes driving so much more enjoyable because it's just so beautiful. I celebrated my 1 year wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
So
yay.
There's that.
Mr. Abel Dabelson came out for a visit.
He did.
So my dad came out. That was super fun.
We love Mr. Abel Dabelson in this house.
We do.
And on this pod.
So jot that down.
So yep.
However, it was not all
sunshine and roses.
Yeah. The unicorns weren't shitting rainbows every day, if you will. And don't get me wrong. We're still back. We're still refreshed. It's still better than if we didn't. But.
Yeah. I mean, so we took this break because we were like, listen, we've been doing this for 3 years and we haven't yet. And we wanted some time to like look into some other topics for you guys and really kind of dive in and also just take a quick breather. And thank goodness we did, because had we not scheduled it, it would have happened anyway, because Abby has had quite the go of it.
So you guys ever feel like just asking for the room, asking for a friend, have you ever felt like a medical case study?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unrelated. My eardrum did explode. So I can't see it in there. And usually you can see that, like that comes standard on most models, you know?
Yep.
So, that was pretty awful and terrible. And I can't really hear out of one side very well or much.
And she couldn't talk for a while.
Yeah, because it like
excruciating to talk, to move your mouth because of the ear, you know, the whole like
the TMJ, like that joint, it shares neurons with your ear. So then like you try to open your mouth and it's just like excruciating pain because your ear's dying.
Yeah.
And then that got a little bit better, but I still couldn't really like change height, like I couldn't really go from like sitting to laying because the pressure change hurt, and I couldn't really lay on the ear and I couldn't really lay off the ear. So then I was trying to sleep sitting up, which newsflash, I can't do. So then there was that, and then there was an ear infection, and then,
which wasn't even the same ear, by the way.
Nope. Different ear.
It started as two ear infections. Did it not?
Yes.
And then one blew up.
And I didn't know I had either of them until the one blew up because they were feeling a little achy, like you left your 2007 Apple like earbuds
headphones
in just a little bit too long, and you're like, oh, I want to keep listening to music, but that's what it was like. And I was like, all right, I'll go to urgent care tomorrow, like whatever, I'll schedule something. And then at like, I don't know, 3 a.m., excruciating pain.
And well, the best and worst investment that you can make in your health. I don't know if you're like one of us mid to late 20s girlies where like mentally you still kind of feel 16, but you also kind of feel like 48 at the same time. And so different things appeal to you now and different, like, for example, I'm like, I look at the FSA store a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And like the HSA store a lot just to like see what medical things are out there. Just to sample, just to take a peek. Like, I like to look at Amazon on the medical, you know what I mean? Like, I never would have done that even a few years ago, but here I am. And one of the best things that you can get, again, or worst, is one of those like ear cameras that you can look at with your phone. Because as a card carrying member of the Ouchie Ear Club, where like I am just so prone to ear infections, and normally I don't just get one, baby. I am all or nothing.
All the way.
I do. In fact, I'll go and they'll be like, did you know that you had an infection in this one? And I'll go, no, because the other one hurt. They're like, yeah, well, the other one's like all really bad, but you also have it in this one. And yeah. I'm like, okay, so that's really cool. And so I've had one of those cameras, and then really it comes in handy when you're, I've heard from a friend that it comes in handy when your eardrum blows up,
mm-hmm.
and then you can see it. And then the coolest thing about having a friend going through, unrelated, a friend going through that is that they send you screenshots like all of the progress pics of their ear of like it being really swollen and then all of a sudden gone. Like it was a magic trick. Like it was like poof, gone. Yeah. And then like it healing, like you can see it. And as someone who's not experiencing the pain of it, I find it very fascinating, and I would look forward to my photo like montage every day. But for the person going through it, excruciating.
Yeah, it was bad and also fascinating, and I do plan on taking a photo like every day, every other day until it's all the way healed, because you know what happens if you
Google.
You're gonna
make a slideshow?
I'm gonna. Yeah. Do you know those, like, do you remember Facebook circa like 2014, and people would take a picture of their face every day for a year in like the same spot in their bathroom, and they just like time lapse it together?
Oh, yep.
That it's gonna be that with my ear, and I'm gonna put like, I don't know, One Direction in the background or something.
Please.
R.I.P. Like
yes,
as it's gonna be Night Changes, and then just like my ear. But if you Google that, it goes, oh, you mean a hole in your eardrum? No, I mean no eardrum. I mean, no eardrum.
I love that when Abby went to the doctor. So I was like getting these in real time updates, and it was like, okay, so I have an ear infection. I was like, oh,
that, boo.
Yeah. That sucks. And it was like, oh my God, I was up at 3 a.m. with searing pain and felt like I was getting stabbed. And I was like, oh no. And then it was like, so my eardrum exploded. I was just like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And then it was like, they were like, it is not there.
Yeah.
It was there, we heard, but it is not. So you say it was there at one point.
Well, and truly, it does feel alleged at this point. Like, it doesn't feel...
Allegedly.
Yes, it doesn't feel confirmed. Like, I was there getting my infection checked out, like the ear infection, and they looked, and they were like, we don't see any evidence of an eardrum in there. And I was like, I know. Yeah, I know.
The customer's always right, damn it. I showed up here with it. Before,
believe it or not.
So what did you do?
So anyway, that happened. That's been going on.
So it was a forcible break that we were gonna need to take because Abby couldn't talk or here. Eat or sleep.
Yeah,
and certainly not here, which is kind of a really big piece of the podcasting thing that we do. So we timed it unknowingly perfectly, but we missed you guys too, and we got all of your messages.
Yes, and we are so excited to be back. There is nothing like coming home, and it's great.
Yeah.
My poor boss in the middle of that, he got married and took his honeymoon. We love that. Hooray, snaps. He came back, and like it was literally the week he came back, and I was like, I am so sorry. I'm not even shitting you. Like, I wish I was doing this to get out of work. Regrettably, like, I can't do anything. My eardrum's gone. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah.
He's like, picture didn't happen.
No, literally. And I'm like debating whether or not to send him like pictures of my busted eardrum. I didn't. All right. I got boundaries.
I didn't.
But like, I did really think about it. And then I went to the office for the first time after. And I was like, oh, sorry. If you guys need to talk to me, like, please just like yell or make like, I don't know, a gesture.
Can
or
you
like
approach
tap
from the
me
right,
on the shoulder.
Just approach from the right.
And they were like, yeah, why? And I was like, well, I just don't have an eardrum. And they were like, what? And then two of them were like, do you have pictures? We want to see them. And so we spent like 30 minutes going through my eardrum.
If you don't have photos. A folder on, can you make a shared album for us?
Yes.
I think I need that. It's like a car crash or anything else where like, you know, it's awful and you shouldn't look, but there is this like obligation to.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason some of you guys are even listening, because it's like, you know, it's going to be terrible. You know, like the content of it, the fact of it is going to be horrible, but there is this innate thing. And I feel like it's more in women, and maybe it's because women, we rely so much on like our intuition and like our gut feelings. Like we're just, and we're sometimes told to dismiss them and then other times reinforce. And so we kind of have this thing of like, needs to be predictable. So we need to
Yeah.
Anticipate it and do it, which is why I think a lot of you guys are here. Cause that's why I was drawn to true crime. I'm trying to diagnose myself. But then there's also a piece of it that I'm like, what happened to your eardrum? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just got to know.
Yeah. So I will give you guys an update when I know. But I got lucky and there was a cancellation. So I can see a specialist within the year.
Good. Because before it was probably going to be like 6 months out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With nothing. So.
Excellent.
We'll see how that goes. I'm pretty excited to at least know something, you know?
Yeah, answers will be good.
Any
answer.
It's just
weird that you could go from like one day being like, ow, that hurts, to all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, no, that was pretty bad. And I still would like to know where it went. Didn't fall out of my ear.
Yeah.
So where is it? Like, give it back.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Like, I made that.
It's kind of rude if you think about it.
It's really rude.
Yeah.
This is my body's way of saying, like, fuck you, pay me.
Like, well, and the ironic thing is, they were like, here's medicine you can take for it. And Abby's ulcer's like, no, the fuck you can't.
Yup.
And so we have this really fun combination here of, like, get her high, get her low.
I also saw my GI doctor, you guys.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to tell you about that. And she is delightful. You can tell the GI is her special interest. And I love that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to go to a specialist who isn't super into it. But right. The thing is, she doesn't remember or perhaps know that everybody isn't super into it. So like, we came to meet as the follow-up to my endoscopy from fucking five ever ago. Mm-hmm. And she was like, so why are we here? And I was like, we're doing the follow-up I was told to do. And she was like, yeah, but they read you the results. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Like, they read it to me, but I'm not a fucking... And she's like, oh my God, right, okay. So, I was like, okay, queen. She's like, yeah, but other than that, smooth sailing. So, if you need anything, let me know if anything changes. And I was like,
you're like, bitch, right. Lock in. What's going on? we missed you guys.
We did. And I missed oversharing my medical issues with you guys. So,
you know, we get so many messages, though, that are like, I so relate to that. So... you guys are out there and we hear from you and we love when we do hear from you. So I'll put a note in the description of like, skippers, go to this time.
Yes.
If you just want to hear the case. But we haven't talked to you guys in way too long.
It's been a hot minute and things have been, other than the excruciatingly bad, okay.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Not too shabby. We're getting through.
Yeah. And I am super excited because I know we have like a good spook. Speaking of which, oh my God, you guys. Spoopy Halloween.
Spoopy Halloween. Did your pod pets have a spoopy costume?
Please, dear God, dear Lord, tell me that they did. And also send it to me while you explain to me what it is.
Please send us the spooptacular.
We'd love to see it.
Pod pets, because we love that. And let us know what you went as for Halloween.
Yes. Just so you guys know, if you're curious, I went as a group Jaws costume and my cat was the shark. He's Brucey.
Yep.
Because he bites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people are pretty afraid of him.
He does do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has sent people to the hospital and he will not be stopping.
And he won't be saying sorry.
No.
He's saying come again. But good, dear friend of the pod, Emily, love her so, 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 so much. She really wanted to be the disgruntled seaman from Jaws,
why can I not remember his name? He has like
Clint.
Yeah, he has like the most distinct scene of like all of cinema.
Yep. To their eyes roll over white.
Yeah. Doll's eyes.
Black eyes like a doll's eyes, and all you can hear is the screaming and the thrash. I love it. And I'll tell you what, nobody does a better impression than her.
It's
especially
true.
When she's drunk, it's so good.
I fully will be like, Emily, can you please?
Can you do the thing?
And then doll's eyes.
Always reminds me, there's an Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where they're getting questioned by police and Charlie Day just does that whole monologue and they're like, you know, zooming in. It's like the interrogation room. And one of them is like, are you doing Jaws right now? Like, we don't have time for you to be doing Jaws right now.
Yeah, she would do that.
Oh, I know. I love her. Every day, I hope to find a man like Charlie Day for her. She needs a man who's well-versed in bird law, you know?
She really does need that.
She needs a man who goes out to sea.
Mostly
and, like, comes back, but, like, you know.
Yeah, but also because I think she wouldn't... Sea. Yeah, she wouldn't mind if they were gone a while, too.
No, and I think
I dig that about her.
She'd really like I think she'd embrace the alone time, but I also think she'd really enjoy adding looking out the window waiting for your husband to come back from sea to the to-do list. Because that just, it gives the vibes.
And she's nothing if not consistent, too. Yes. So she would be doing that daily. So if you know of anybody in the New England area who fits this description.
Yeah, please. Honestly,
we have a beautiful, lovely gal to set them up with. So we have that.
Hot as hell. Yeah. And she can do a sick Jaws impression. So like, what else?
Better than
want?
You've ever heard.
So jot that down.
Yeah. So
spread it around.
Please. Tell a friend. And we're talking medical history. We're setting up relationships. We're talking the spoop and the pod pets. I think, you know, very well-rounded podcast we have, if I may say so myself.
I believe so. And I will post a picture if I get the okay from everyone involved to post it. But if not, I'll still show you my cat in his little shark costume.
Yeah.
So we'd love to see your pets. And we're so sorry that it took us 15 minutes to say happy Halloween. Oh my God. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, but
we're
happy
so excited.
Halloween. It's the spooktacular little episode.
We love it. And I'm so excited to get into it.
So shall we do it?
I think we should. Okay. So it's been a long time, but yoo-hoo! Pod's on.
Hi, hello, and welcome, or welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast, About Time for True Crime.
Hi.
We missed you guys so much, and we are so happy to be back with the ATFTC family, where we belong.
Yeah.
And we can hang out in our little corner of this lovely true crime world.
We're giving y'all little nose boops.
Boop.
Boop.
And also, again, happy Halloween.
Yay.
Thank you for spending your spoopy day with us. We thought that you might have wanted a spoopy case, and well, we have just the case for you.
Yes.
So today, we are diving into a case that is largely regarded as the spirit who solved her own murder.
Ooh.
Through possession.
Oh.
Okay. You heard that right. Some sources, just to highlight some, you'll see them all linked, but we used the Claremont Sun, the Chicago Tribune, and then there's a book called Teresita, A Voice from the Grave. That's everything's linked. So,
okay.
John O'Brien and Ed Bowman. Just so you know.
Love it.
So let's talk about Teresita Bassa. That is the woman that we are talking about. She sounds like an incredible woman, and I'm looking forward to telling you this case. This case is wild, and I will say this from the top. Like, I listened to Crime Junkie's podcast episode on this, which a lot of the information differed from the sources that I found.
Okay.
And I don't see where she cited her sources. I didn't really dig in too much, but I just wanted to listen to, like, how someone else kind of said it and everything. And so some of the things really don't line up, but my sources are cited. So have that. This case, there probably wasn't a lot on it at the time, and this is, we're kind of going back to the 70s, which no one wants to say that this was 50 years ago, but it was,
right?
And so we didn't really record things the way that we do now. So with all of that, let's talk about Teresita.
I'm excited
because she sounds rad. So she was born March 13th 1929 in Dumaguete City in the Philippines.
Okay.
Her parents, Pedro and Socorro Bassa, had only one child. So she was naturally the apple of their eye.
Right.
She is said to be a force of a woman. She was passionate and she was dedicated. When she found something that piqued her interest, she just kind of dove in. Like, she was all for it. And she loved learning everything that she could. She was passionate about several things, including music and gardening, which is, surprise, how she spent a lot of her time. But she also had just so many interests. She was just a very cool, like, young woman. Her family in the Philippines were more on the wealthy side. And because of this, Teresita had exposure to a bunch of different things.
Cool.
She really got to diversify her interests. So her two special interests, being music and gardening, were a really big part of her life. Her mom had a garden in their backyard, and she would spend hours out there with her trying to learn everything she could about literally everything there was to know about having a green thumb.
She had
to learn it. And her mom taught her about tending to it and the importance of it and everything, having its season, and just really cool.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff that as the granddaughter of someone with probably the best green thumb I've ever seen, I'm a disgrace. Like I'll kill a succulent. Like I just can't. So I so admire people who can just have that feel for it and kind of can see, you know, they can just take a look at like this needs this and here and oh, you have this. Okay, well this time of year it's good and you need this kind of soil and blah, blah, blah. Like I just think that's really cool.
I think behind every good green thumb is a lot of dead plants.
A serial killer.
Yeah. And that, you know,
the skin
that's
of a killer
sick.
Bella.
It's sick and it's a lot of Google searching and it's a lot of killing things and figuring out why they're dead.
Her other interest being music, she specifically loved the piano.
Mm.
And her family imported a grand piano from Manila so that she could learn on that. And she would play for hours on end. Like
that is so cool.
So again, these are the things that she's interested in. She just dove into it, became really good at both. In her 30s, Teresita wanted to pursue music, but she found it difficult to make something of a music career in the Philippines. So she set her sights on enrolling in music school in Chicago, and she did. She went to university. She went to college. And then after she earned her degree, she started to work. But unfortunately, building a music career did not come easy, as it, I mean, it really doesn't. It's very hard to really, like, make it. And I don't know exactly what it was that she was going for, like if it was fame and like those big performances or if it was just having steady, reliable work and like doing gigs and things like that. But
right.
She did end up beginning a different career.
Okay.
She entered the field of medicine and like the medical field.
Wow.
She started work at the Edgewater Hospital and she quickly advanced to the position of a respiratory therapist or like a respiratory technician.
Wow.
So she definitely kind of found her niche in what field she wanted. But while she excelled in everything like medical that she was doing, her passion was also still music. So she didn't let that go.
Right.
Too. But she was just good at everything. Like she was an excellent, she was an excellent professional in the hospital. She also had the music that she was doing on the side. So she just felt kind of like very well-rounded.
Yeah.
But again, if you thought she'd given up on music, you'd be wrong, because she actually began a PhD program at night. So nice. She's working at the hospital during the day. Not only is she still incorporating music into her life, but she's also beginning a PhD program to really further that education. Like this woman could do it all. And further than that, she taught piano lessons for local kids free of charge in the little free time that she did have.
I love that.
Just to give back to the community and really kind of foster that relationship for kids with music and really having a place to do that and a way to learn, which is just incredible. She was an extremely hard worker, very determined to achieve her dreams, but also help others in like seemingly every aspect of her life. Working in the medical field is often a thankless job and one of the most important you can have. We are like huge fans of our nurses and our medical teams.
Oh my gosh.
But also giving back in just that other way too that she was able to was just really awesome.
She sounds sick.
Like, yeah.
I want to hang out with her.
I know. It was a cold winter evening on February 21st, 1977 though, when a neighbor saw black smoke coming from a high-rise apartment building on the north side of Chicago.
Okay.
Smoke was reported on the 15th floor, and as firefighters made their way to that floor, they knew a fire had to have erupted in one of those apartments because by the time that they got there, smoke had entirely filled that hallway.
Oh, wow.
They approached apartment 15B, which seemed to be the source of where the smoke was kind of billowing from under the door. So they were able to gain entry into this apartment where they did find flames. But luckily, it was still isolated to one room. So it hadn't spread to other rooms in the apartment or even like other apartments in the building, right? You kind of think at that point it could have been like three apartments kind of taken. So luckily, they got there in time where it was really still just this one space. So as soon as they get in, the first thing they're trying to do is see what's going on because it is full of dark smoke. So they open one of the windows to try to let some of that smoke out so they can kind of have an idea of what they're dealing with. They extinguish the flames. They're kind of able to do that. And as they're doing that, they're noticing what it was that was on fire, which was really weird. They found a mattress in the middle of the room.
Oh.
On the floor.
Goodness.
So okay. No frame, just a mattress on the floor in the middle of the room, which was very odd because I believe it was like the living room. It was like one of the, when you walked in, this is what you saw. And the fire had been started on the mattress. So it wasn't like it had spread to the mattress and now they're dealing with the mattress on fire. It was that the mattress itself had been set on fire.
Yeah.
Which is strange. And they kind of noticed a hump in the middle of the mattress. And so they were like, well, that's weird. So once the, you know, the flames were officially put out, they kind of lifted it to see what was under it. And they were very shocked to find the naked body of a woman that was unrecognizable, who had a butcher's knife in the middle of her chest.
Oh my gosh.
Still there. Her legs were apart. Her arms were by her chest. They really couldn't tell. I mean, the woman had been burned. They really could not tell who it was, but now they knew that, and they weren't, it was not an accidental fire by any means. This wasn't even just an arson. This is now a murder.
Right.
So they quickly kind of back away and try to leave the scene as it is because they know that what they can do right now is done. But what really needs to happen is detectives need to make their way out there to process the scene.
Also snaps for that. There are so many times that like emergency services, even with the best of intentions, really screw with a scene and that can fuck up a lot of things on the back end. So that's sick.
Well, also though, I mean, if they put it out, whether they used fire extinguisher or hoses, you've already flooded the scene. Right. You know what I mean? It's already compromised by nature. And as it should be, right?
That you need to do your due diligence.
You need to do that first, right? You're not solving anything if the fire is still burning.
Nope.
But also the efforts to extinguish the flames do the same thing in terms of like what the fire was likely set to do, which was destroy any evidence that there was. So it's not great. You know, it's kind of starting at a significant disadvantage for the detectives to try to piece together what this is. Because at this point, they don't even know who this is.
Right.
And of course, they figure it out. But that's about as far as they get for a while.
Yeah, because at that point, you're just preserving anything left. Which, great, awesome. We need to preserve whatever's left because there's not much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so detectives are called. They make their way out. Ultimately, they're able to identify the body as 49-year-old Teresita Bassa. She's the sole renter on the lease, so she's the only one. She lived alone. She wasn't married. So pretty confident in doing that, but they were able to confirm it too.
Okay.
Her body was in terrible condition. I mean, her hair had been like nearly burned off. There were significant burns to her body. She was unrecognizable as the beautiful woman that she was in life.
Right.
But thankfully, I suppose, they were able to determine her cause of death.
Okay.
Which was, and I'm not saying the detectives did that, but throughout the investigation process, when an autopsy was done, they were able to determine that it was the stab wound to her chest, which I say thankfully, one, they were able to do it and figure out what it was that happened, but two, it wasn't that she was set on fire while she was alive.
Yeah.
So it did tell them that after she was stabbed and dead, that in an attempt to cover up any evidence, it was likely why she was why there was a fire in the first place. So at first, to detectives, this looked like a burglary and sexual assault.
Okay.
Given that items in the apartment were like, it looked like it had been ransacked. Like things were kind of thrown all over the place. She wasn't known to leave her apartment like that. She actually entertained a lot. And she would have friends over. Like, she didn't drink, but she was always sure to have, like, beer in the fridge in case anybody wanted anything. Like, she was used to having people over. She never really left her home looking like things were tossed all about. And they also thought that it was a sexual assault, given the fact that she was found without clothes on.
Right.
Her legs being spread apart. Like, it looked as if that was sort of the point.
Right.
So they're thinking, okay, there's a theft here. There's sexual assault, and then to silence her, they killed her.
Right.
Now, we said her apartment had been ransacked, right? Like, it looked not great, but from what investigators could see and from asking around, they didn't notice anything that was missing.
Okay.
In other words, a TV wasn't missing. There wasn't, like, a spot in, like, dust that they could see that something had been there, you know what I mean, that had been there and is now missing, like, from what they could piece together about the things that she owned, there wasn't anything notably not there.
Right.
So it was kind of like, they're like, all right, well, it's looking less and less like a theft now. And then in the autopsy, they also found no evidence of sexual assault.
Interesting.
So they're like, okay, so the two things that we thought happened, pretty much we know for sure didn't happen.
Yeah.
So now what? What could be the reason? You know what I mean? Because this contradicted everything that they had initially anticipated. And like, that was the only lead that they had, was like, okay, well, if we can figure out how this happened, maybe we can work backwards.
Right.
And they're like, oh, actually, we don't know any of those things. There wasn't anybody who wanted her dead that they knew of.
Mm-hmm.
They asked around. She didn't have problems with anybody. She was very well liked. People loved her. You know, she wasn't dating anybody. She had friends. She was... I don't know if you guys can hear Oliver, but he is telling some stories. So he is very agreeable.
He's very upset about this.
He wants to hear all about it. I don't know why he kept interrupting me.
Rude.
Very rude. Men. No, I'm just kidding. but when they're trying to piece together like who would want to hurt her, there was nobody. Like, right. They could not come up with anything. And that makes it more difficult.
Well, right. It's like, not for nothing, somebody did. So, like, whether or not it was her that they had their sights on for a long time or not, somebody mm-hmm. hurt her, and that meant they wanted to. So, like, it's kind of helpful if there's at least a list to start looking at.
Right, and then there was nothing. And so it was like, not only want to hurt her, but kill her in such a vicious way.
Yeah.
And kind of stage it to look like something else, because it seemed very obviously staged once they realized nothing was missing and there was no sexual element, that...
Right.
Trying to put the pieces together just seemed like they weren't fitting, and they couldn't figure out why. The fire didn't spread, thankfully, not because it was magic fire and that it knew to stick to the mattress, but it was just due to the neighbors' quick thinking and the fire department's fast response time that probably saved more lives.
Which we love.
But it did destroy the mattress. It did destroy her body.
Right.
So any evidence that could have been on or around her was gone too, so they don't even have that to go over.
Yeah.
And while they didn't find a smoking gun, they did find something that was worth looking into, I'll say. It was a note written in her handwriting that said, "Get theater tickets for AS."
Okay.
And it wasn't like, oh great, we found the missing piece of evidence. It was just like the only thing that they found.
Right, the only lead.
Like, the only notable piece of anything that they had to go off of. It wasn't like, oh, this is a great lead. It's like, this is a lead.
Yep.
It's it. This all, it's the only thing follow. Is the only thing we have.
Yeah.
So they start working on that, and they're like asking some of her family. Do you know anybody with these initials? Her like friends. Do you know anybody with these initials? And everyone's like, we have no idea.
Right.
She never talked of any, you know, did she talk about anybody that could have fit this, or anyone like with an A name? And they're like, no, not at all. The case just grew cold.
Mm.
So this happened in February, gave way to March, which gave way to April. Now we're in like the spring and summer, and they're getting nothing. Meanwhile, it's Chicago.
Yep.
There are plenty of other crimes in front of them, with leads in front of them that they need to pursue. And so the case just kind of grows cold. They looked for witnesses. There weren't any. There's no security footage. They weren't able to get any of that. No new leads, nobody's calling with tips, like, there was nothing.
Right.
And then something crazy happened.
Ooh.
Like, creepy, weird, banana pants, nutty.
Okay.
Wild. Because at this point, they're fearing the case is never going to be solved, because they've got nothing, nothing's happened. Like, you can't do something with nothing.
Yep.
And the murder of a kind woman was just... like, it's upsetting for them. Obviously, they want to solve it. They couldn't. And so when this kind of new tip comes in, they're like, we'll take it. We'll take anything.
Yeah.
And so Detectives Statula and Eplin were following up on a call that they received from the Evanston Police Department.
Okay.
And the Evanston Police Department, the police officer that they spoke with was like, you need to talk to this person. Now, this person was Dr. Jose Chua.
Okay.
And he lived in Skokie, Illinois. Now, Dr. Chua was like, they gave the detectives this guy's name and like his information. But the cop that they were talking to didn't say, like, this is what you need to hear from him. So, like, I don't even know if they knew, like, is this guy a suspect? Is this guy right. someone with information? Like, what's going on? So they're like, listen, you just got to talk to him. So, like, okay. So they reach out to Dr. Chua. And they met this man who seemed, like, hesitant and almost not embarrassed and not ashamed, but, like, very uncomfortable about speaking with them, especially about this. And they're like, okay, well, like, spit it out. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Because now they've got detective from a different police department saying, reach out to this guy. They do. And it seems like this guy doesn't really want to talk to them. And they're like, all right, can somebody, like, tell us what's going right. on, please? And they're like, spit it out. And kind of sheepishly, Dr. Chua tells them that his wife, Remy, had been visited by the spirit of Teresita Bassa.
Oh.
He told them he didn't believe it at first either. He knew how insane it sounded, but that she knew things that she couldn't have known, and she had begun speaking like she had never spoken before.
Okay.
And so it was as if Teresita had, like, taken over his wife in these brief moments.
Oh.
And he was the only witness to it.
Okay.
Now, medical doctors, as he is one, he's a surgeon,
mm-hmm.
in my experience, are often pretty by the book. Like, a doctor wants to see statistics and numbers, case studies and research, not guidance from a spiritual entity that you can't see, hear, touch, or speak with.
Yeah, or even follow up with.
Yeah, it seems very antithetical to the work that they do and kind of that numbers, hard science driven
right.
approach that they often take. And I think that's great in a lot of ways. I think there's also sometimes some room for, like, some other stuff, yeah. you know? But in his particular line of work, being like a surgeon, he's not into that, like, holistic, like, let's feel like crunchy, earthy, any yeah. of that, right? He's very, very numbers driven. And so he's like, it sounds madness
yeah.
to him too. And for him to lend credit to this idea, to say, I actually think that my wife was, like, visited by this spirit, is interesting.
Right.
Because I wouldn't initially assume that about a medical doctor.
Right. Like, if someone like Teal Swan was like, I was visited by a ghost, I'd be like, for sure, next.
Yes. Like, she would definitely say that. Or Mother God, woman that you covered. It was like, yeah.
Carlson, I think.
Yeah. Where she thought, like, people were in the sky and spaceship was going to come down or something. Like,
and she brought Robin Williams into it. Rude.
But yeah, like, which, like, how dare you, first of all.
I get that. Like, if we're talking creatives, out-of-the-box thinkers, spiritual.
Like, if you picture them gurus, barefoot. Yeah, barefoot often.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And that fits. But this guy, it doesn't add up to me. And maybe it's different, but I just think back, especially back then,
yeah,
that wouldn't have happened. And so he was like, listen, I, like, didn't believe it. And in fact, the first couple times that I saw this happen, I didn't believe it. And I didn't.
Couple times?
Oh, we're going to get to it. But, like, he didn't buy it at first when his wife told him that Teresita visited him in her sleep. And then it began almost, like, more strong, so that he actually heard his wife as her.
Oh.
So it was, like, first it was just when she was dreaming. Then it kind of changes to, like, she's taking her over.
Yeah.
And remember that Teresita worked in a hospital. And depending on the source that you looked at, either they never met or they had known each other.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Chua, I don't believe knew her, but his wife might have.
Got it. Okay.
They might have been friends. They might have been, like, they might have met one time, or they never met at all. Sources okay. differ. But his wife also worked in, like, a similar field or department that Teresita did. So okay. it would make sense that they might have crossed paths at one time. Whereas I don't really think that Dr. Chua would have crossed paths with her.
Right.
Just, like, being a surgeon in different kind of area of things, that I don't know that they would have. But again, depends on your source. Some will call them friends. Some will call them they've never met. So
right.
it's really hard to iron out those details. And I don't know that it necessarily matters. Some sources will tell you that they were very upset that she died, just it being that somebody, like a colleague,
right.
you know, died in such a violent way. Even hearing of a stranger dying in such a violent way is upsetting, and it should be. We're human.
Right.
Others will say that they never heard of it. So it's, you know, you can kind of look at it any different way. But apparently, Remy told her husband that Teresita came to visit her in her dreams, urging her to get justice for her murder.
Okay.
That she was murdered and that something needed to be done about it. At first, it seemed that Teresita would come to visit, and Remy thought, like, very little of it.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, okay, well, maybe it's just, like, she heard about it or whatever, and it was upsetting. But by August, where this was, like, had been going on for, like, a while at this point, it was time to address it. And it seemed to just get more and more intense. So we're fast-forwarding to August here. So okay, she dies in February. This is August.
6 months.
6 months. In the last couple of months, this has been, like, really gearing up to the point where they felt like they really needed to do something about it.
Okay.
And so when Dr. Chu is being, like, interviewed by the detectives, he's kind of recapping his side of things. So he's like, one day his wife fell asleep on the couch during the day, and he heard her starting to, like, talk in her sleep a little bit. So he kind of went over to her. And apparently she said, "Doctor, I need your help. The man who murdered me is still out there."
Oh.
And she was speaking in Tagalog, which is one of the native languages of the Philippines, which they spoke. So Dr. Chua and his wife were also from the Philippines. But apparently she spoke in, like, a Spanish accent, which his wife never did, but Teresita did.
Oh.
And they may not have known that, again, depending on the source. So, and she always spoke in English to him.
Okay.
So even though it was in their native language, she never really spoke that with him. It was always English.
Right.
So it's very weird that she's sort of speaking in her sleep in this way. And it was kind of weird because while it was her voice, it wasn't her intonation.
Right.
It wasn't the accent that she would have had. She didn't have a Spanish Tagalog accent. You know what I mean? Like, right. So that was kind of strange. And just kind of the way that she spoke and the manner that she spoke did not sound like his wife at all. And that was, like, that stood out to him. And so apparently at one point he was like, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am Teresita Bassa."
Oh.
Now, apparently when she woke up, she had no memory of this. They talked about it. They thought it was really strange. But what else was there to say or do? I mean, like, that was weird. But what do you, like, maybe you tell a friend? I don't know. Are you embarrassed? Do you think it's crazy?
Yeah.
Like, you certainly don't go, "Well, gotta call the police." Like, what do you do with that? But then Remy also says that as this kind of continued, that Teresita gave her a name.
Oh.
And the name was Alan Showery.
Okay.
Further, not only did she give the name, but she said, "This is the guy you're looking for. Like, this is the guy who killed me, Alan Showery."
All right.
Do you notice the initials?
I sure did.
A.S. So a few days later, it happened again. And this time, Teresita, through Remy, apparently, said, "Why have you not gone to the police?"
Okay.
"Like, I told you who this was. Why have you not done anything about it?"
Okay, queen.
Again, strange and off-putting, but they didn't know an Alan Showery. They didn't, like,
right.
What are you supposed to do? "Hey, we heard this name because my wife's, like, was sleep talking and said it to me." Like, if it were me talking my sleep, you know I'm drooling. Like, yeah. I got, like, I look all types of ways. Like,
they go, you go,
Yeah, you do not, like, and yeah. I'm a talker in my sleep. I tell tales.
Same.
I do that. And you shouldn't listen to any of it.
No, because me asleep, she a damn liar. I don't know her.
Yeah, we don't
talk.
No, we don't talk like that. You know, we're not particularly, like, super close. But, like,
imagine, right? Like, that happens.
It's, like, super, and it's not mumbled, and it's not, like, it's trance-like, but it is not unclear or sounding as if someone's sleep talking.
Right. And then you get a different accent. You get a language you don't speak very often, and there's just a random name.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, okay, I hear you, Teresita, queen of self-advocacy. I'm loving this. But, like, you go to the police and you're like, "Hey, in my sleep, I think I'm talking to a ghost. She told me that you need to look into this guy and you haven't yet. So what's up with that?"
Like, exactly.
How does that interview go? That's all you have.
And it makes you sound insane. And I think there's a part of it where they were embarrassed because they're like, "This does sound insane. Who's going to believe this?" And, like, to be a medical doctor of that standing and his wife works in the field like that, that could do damage to your reputation if people start thinking you're a quack. You know what I mean? Like, they right. think, like, this guy, you know, he's out there and he believes he's talking to ghosts and he's doing, you know, like, there yeah. are people that would really look down upon that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could have professional implications for him. He's not wanting to do that. And then they still don't do anything.
Okay.
So then further than that, apparently, Teresita says to Remy, and I don't know if this is her speaking through Remy, like, to Dr. Chua or, mm-hmm. like, coming to her, and but whatever. Regardless, Remy knows what happened.
Okay.
Apparently, Teresita said that Alan Showery came over to her apartment to fix the TV.
Okay.
But instead, he killed her. He stole her jewelry and he staged the apartment. And that the jewelry that he took belonged to Teresita's mother and okay. had been bought in France. So these were like European
yeah.
pieces. And she also gave the names of people who could verify it. Like, she gave names of cousins and other family members to say they can tell you what this jewelry looks like, and provided a phone number.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, this sounds so out there.
This is awesome and wild.
Apparently, she said something to the effect of, he came over to fix my TV and he killed me and he burned me. Please go to the police.
Shit.
Like, she's pleading through Remy.
Right.
Please get justice for me. Look what he did to me.
Yeah.
And I'm pointing you in the direction of a way to prove it. And, like,
here's a phone number.
Like, my jewelry was taken. Like, please, like, if you find that, you will find this. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so with that, the Chuas were just like, this is all too strange and unbelievable. But at that point, they just felt a duty to report it.
Yeah, I get it.
Which, you know, on the slim chance that it could have been valuable, I think they were just like, we just need to tell somebody.
Yeah.
So needless to say, telling a detective that the ghost of the murder victim spoke to you is a long shot.
Yep.
And probably was not on that cop's bingo card.
Certainly not.
And to be a Chicago detective, I am sure in the 70s or even now, whenever, you've probably seen some crazy things. Like, there's probably nothing that you could say catches you by surprise anymore. And then there's this.
Yep.
So of all the outlandish and wild things they've heard, like, this has got to take the cake. But this is where the Chuas were introduced to the detectives that were working Teresita's case
okay.
in Chicago. So they're kind of like getting filled in on this, and it kind of makes sense why they seemed kind of like hesitant to even talk. Like, they've already yeah. explained it to their local police, and the locals are like, you got to tell it to the people that are
right
working the case. And so now they kind of have to repeat everything, and they're like, yeah, it was a ghost.
They're like, okay, listen, I know this sounds wild.
Yeah, it was like a Spanish Tagalog accent, which is not what it normally is. And like, so, just yeah. all, it just, it's weird. Like, it was just so weird. But they did it.
Thank goodness.
And the detectives decided to hear them out. And really, they didn't understand what was going on, but the detectives got the impression from Jose Chua that he believed it.
Right.
Like, it was so undeniable to him, and that while he wasn't necessarily like super thrilled about telling of it, he would not have said anything if he did not believe it, and he understood how it made him look.
Right.
But it was too great a like coincidence, I guess, that he needed yeah. to come forward with it. So they also acknowledged how insane it sounded. But also, like, what was there to lose?
Yeah.
Like, they have no leads. This case is growing so cold. If this is how they solve the case, do they care how? Like, right. how they got their lead to start?
Well, and I think at some point you say, like, they're not trying to explain how this happened to them. They're just trying to say, like, I just keep getting this, and mm-hmm. these are details that I am hearing and or thinking and, you know, or communicating somehow.
Well, and remember,
and they're like,
yeah.
oh, and that matches things in the case.
And it matches the initials. Remember, that's
right.
that is the only quote unquote lead. And really, get theater tickets for AS does not sound like
no.
a lead to me. There's no date on it. You don't know what she was thinking. You don't know if theater tickets for AS, the AS could have been what the show was. Like,
right.
It might have been what the performance was. Like, there's just so many different ways that could go that doesn't jump out to you or I as a lead, but it was something. And what I don't know and what would really make the difference for me in this case is whether or not that was published.
Right.
I don't know. So a lot of the sources, the most recent sources I find about this case are from the 90s.
Right.
And even those are like slim pickings. So I don't have anything from the time to say what they were looking for.
Right.
I don't know if they released that to the public, because then that would make sense that now everybody knows they're looking for an AS.
Yeah, but the only reason I'd be surprised if they did is because it's the only thing they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kept nothing to their chest. You know what I mean? They kind of laid it all out on the table. And that's not typically how most investigations go. There are some things that they need to keep in-house. But at this point, they got nothing else. So this is what they're rolling with. And so they run a search on an Allen Showery, if this guy even exists. And it turns out he does.
I love this.
And more than that, they figure out two things. One, Allen Showery was a technician at the same hospital that Teresita Basso worked at.
Oh.
In the same department as her. And two, he had a prior criminal history that included what? Robbery and sexual assault.
Mm.
Her coworkers confirmed that they did know each other and that he was due to go to her apartment to fix her TV.
Mm. Obsessed with this.
Okay. When Alan was questioned, of course he denied everything. I mean,
right.
Who wouldn't, right? He said that he wasn't out the night that she died because he was at home with his girlfriend, Yanka.
Yeah.
And they were having a night. But they didn't really buy it. And so they asked him to come down to the station just for some questions. And he went. I mean, he didn't have to.
Right.
But they were like, can you help us clear some things out? We're trying to rule certain people out. We have this woman that died. Maybe you knew her. Blah, blah, blah. And, apparently several people had said that he was due at her house.
Okay.
To fix the TV. And maybe that just didn't come out in their initial round of questionings. Like, no one really thought of it because they're all just, shocked.
Right.
That their friend's dead and, nobody would want to hurt her. But at the station, Alan became very nervous and he kind of changed his story.
Mm.
And he was like, well, actually, I did go over. But then he realized he wasn't actually able to fix it. So then he went home because he had to do housework at their house. He said he had some electrical problems to work on at the house or something. And so they end up talking to Yanka, his girlfriend. And they were like, hey, do you guys have electric problems back then? She was like, what?
Yeah.
Electric problems.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Ruh-roh. And it was at this point that they clued Yanka into their suspicions. And fortunately, she agreed to cooperate.
Okay.
They asked her that if he had ever gifted her any jewelry. If he's ever given you any jewelry over the course of your relationship, could you describe it to us? Could you tell us about it? And she said, yeah, he gave me jewelry, but it was back in February.
Okay.
You know, February?
Yeah.
And that he called it a late Christmas present.
Oh. Were they the crown jewels from the Louvre?
Well, yeah, right? They asked her to please bring in every piece of jewelry that she had.
Okay.
To the station. Like, whether he gave it to you or not, could you please
all of it.
Bring it in? So she does. They were able to confirm of all of her jewelry, there were 3 pieces.
Okay.
Those same 3 pieces missing from Teresita's home were 3 of the pieces now in her collection.
Hmm.
Teresita's family members had even come in and identified the pieces of jewelry. So remember when she was like, wow. Here's the names and here's a phone number of a guy who can identify these things. Please, can you look at them? They were able to pick them all out.
That's
because they knew it, because it was like mom
this is
had
our family jewelry.
Yeah. And her mom had bought it in France and gifted it to her. And it was
right.
It was sentimental and special. And she wore them and she loved it. You know what I mean? It was very sweet. And at first, Alan said that he had purchased them at a pawn shop, but he just couldn't produce a receipt. Hate when that happens. And then he seemed to kind of realize he was caught.
Yeah.
And then he just admitted it.
Alan.
He admitted to killing Teresita.
Now I don't like what you did, and I don't respect. No, I'm kidding. Good for admitting it, but like, I still don't respect
him. Yeah, once he realized that he was caught, and then imagine being Yonka, who is finding out that her boyfriend, some sources say of like 5 to 7 years.
Wow.
I think she was pregnant. Like, is a murderer. Like, it's just, it's horrific. It's horrible. And honestly, good for her, because there's a lot of people that would just say, no, I'm not bringing anything in. And no, he would never do that. And
yeah,
there's probably maybe a part of her that was like, you know, he wasn't home that night.
So I do want to know.
And I don't know what's going, you know, and I did get this jewelry, but it was back in February and it's now August. Why would you care?
Right.
You know, but you're wearing jewelry of a woman that your boyfriend murdered and stole from. Many of you are probably sitting there or standing there or driving there. I don't know. I'm not you. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, Allie, how in the world do you expect anyone to believe this?
Allie, come on now. How in the world do you expect anyone to believe this?
I thought you'd say that. And the truth is, many people didn't.
Yeah.
Many pointed to the fact that this seemed like a very good way to frame somebody.
Yeah.
That they could have been told information by someone who cannot be questioned or vetted, you know, like the ghost of the person that was killed.
Yeah.
And it just seems awfully convenient to have a source that nobody else can speak with. And it only happens sometimes and only in the comfort of your own home and not when anybody else is around besides your husband. That just seems very odd. Plus, apparently, and again, it depends on the source that you look at, Remy Chua, Dr. Chua's wife, had been fired from the hospital.
Okay.
The one that Teresita worked at, which is the same one that Alan worked at. And so that maybe she was framing Alan. Maybe she had an issue with him. There's some question of a possible motive of like them having it out, Alan and Remy having it out, which gets brought up in a later trial, but didn't necessarily like offer the information she had anyway.
Right.
Right. Not totally sure what the motive would be. I need more information on that personally, but I'm just telling you what I could find that seemed reputable. But she could have potentially known Alan's plans to go fix the TV.
Right.
Right? Like, if other people at work knew that, why wouldn't she have known that too? That seems possible.
Yeah.
But how would she or anyone other than the killer know about the jewelry?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the jewelry not only being in his possession, but being a gift to someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be one thing if if they just like found it in the house and they were like, where is this from? You could be like, oh, that was planted. But intentionally giving it to someone else means acknowledging it was in your possession. And then obviously the entire act of the gift is relinquishing it from yours into somebody else's to say like, the passing of the baton, the passing of the jewels, this is now yours. And for Yonka to have that and not know what's going on as an outsider in all of this. Yeah. And also then for him to just fucking admit it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so there's a few possibilities to me. One, the people that were interviewed weren't forthcoming. And they did know more. And they just were not willing to speak out of fear, out of loyalty, out of fill in the blank.
Right.
Or they didn't think anything of it. Maybe somebody else, like maybe word had traveled about the jewelry that Alan had done it and that it was whatever. And so now Remy can say, oh, the ghost told me that it was. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it could have been more well known. Like, we're relying on this solely being a secret.
Right.
And I think a lot of people say things are secrets that aren't. So I'm hesitant. Like, do I believe in life beyond this? Absolutely. Do I believe that there can be communication? Yeah, I'm one of those weirdos. Do I believe that this has to be that? No. I think it could be, though.
Yeah.
There's things that are just happened so that make me question, you know, its validity. I think it's possible. I'd still question it the same way.
Right.
Because I'm a harsh critic. But I think that, you know, for Remy's motive to accuse Alan just seems like if they had it out, it's pretty steep to like have a work disagreement and frame somebody for a murder.
Right.
But then also like he admitted it. So like we'll talk about that. Right. So you're wondering how could anybody believe it? But you don't really need to wonder much because Alan kind of explained it all.
Oh, okay. Good.
He said that he did go over there under the guise of fixing her TV, but that he didn't have intentions of doing that, that he only wanted to steal from her.
Okay.
Now, other sources say that he did go and then he left and went back. Okay. But the point is he entered her apartment the last time.
Yes.
Whether it was the first time, I don't know, with the intention not to help her, but to kill her. He'd heard that she had a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he had fallen behind on his rent. And instead of, I don't know, picking up extra shifts at the hospital or working some extra hours or working on a budget or literally doing anything other than what he did do, he decided the best course of action was to murder a kind and innocent woman to take what she had earned for herself, mm-hmm. for him. As soon as he got in the door, he attacked her. So he, I think he like choked her out first. So I think she passed out. Then he stabbed her and then he tried to stage it. So he undressed her and tried to make it look like a sexual assault and tried to make it look like a robbery was the motive by kind of ransacking everything. But all he took was those few pieces of jewelry and he took $30 cash.
That's it.
That's it. Roughly the equivalent of like $160 today.
Yeah.
Which is not going to pay your rent. So if it's for the rent he claims, he did not get that.
And also, if it's for the rent he claims, why are we gifting jewelry instead of pawning it and actually making money for your bills that you're mm-hmm. behind on?
So like that part didn't add up other than the fact that maybe he just wanted to. And remember, he has a history of both sexual assault. So, I mean, is it hard to stage that? No, but he would maybe know how, like he might have more insight on that.
Yeah.
And the theft part, I mean, to be sure to take things that wouldn't be super noticeable, but like all the cash that she had was $30. Like it wasn't, if he thought she was rolling in money, she could have been, but it might have been an account, but it wasn't like what she kept stuffed under the mattress, like no pun intended, but like it was not anything that was he could find in the time that he was in the apartment.
Right.
So, seemed weird.
Yeah.
So, when he attacked her, he tried to disguise her body to look like something happened that didn't. He tried to make the scene look like something happened that didn't. And then he slipped out.
Mm-hmm.
And he got away with it.
For a while.
For months.
Yeah.
He set the fire to rid the scene of any evidence of him being there, which worked because there really wasn't any evidence.
Right.
He left with those pieces of jewelry, the $30, and nothing set off alarm bells for anybody. Not his girlfriend getting the jewelry, because it wasn't like so much jewelry.
Right.
That it was really like, hey, how did you come into all of this? And he's like, well, it's a late Christmas present. Like I was saving up, you know, like he kind of had a story for everything. $30 or 160 in today's dollars wasn't this giant lump sum of money that was like ringing any kind of alarms for anybody either, that he had like come into money. It wasn't any situation like that. So he was really kind of able to just float it. But at the same time, with how little that he took, it's just how little he believed her life was worth. Like he murdered, like I feel like she could have given him those things. And she sounded like the kind of person that if he was like, she just sounded like such a sweet enough person that she might have lent him the money.
Right.
Like you did not need to murder this woman.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I know that there wasn't evidence found in an autopsy, but I gotta be real. It's really hard to believe that someone with a history of sexual assault and theft goes into a place to stage sexual assaults.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are we?
Well, and it makes me think one of two things. One is that her body was in such bad shape that they just weren't able to confirm it, but it did happen. But also, the other piece of me is like, was he trying to be shifty in that he does have this history, so they would assume that there would be evidence of it if it was him? And so kind of making them think that, but then finding out it wasn't, could that have like credited him in any way? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense, but it
I think for me, like, it makes sense to me because it's definitely throwing people off the track.
But then, like, why try to make it look like one in the first place? If right. you're, if that is in your history and you think that anybody who's going to look at, you know, a sexual assault and then say, okay, anybody at work that has a history of sexual assault?
Yeah.
That your name might actually come up on that list versus if you don't try to stage it like that, maybe yeah. your name doesn't. Like, it just seems kind of like leading to you and then trying to lead it away when you could have just not led it to you in the first place.
Yeah. And I think for me, like, I this is not me coming at anybody. I don't think that anything was found that they're hiding. Like, I think either her body really didn't have enough preservation of what did happen for them to
and
find
they didn't
it
release or like, those kinds of things then. I mean,
right. But also I don't want to be that guy. It just seems like a really big temptation for somebody who has been convicted of this before
mm-hmm.
to be like, I'm just going to leave this here and not do anything.
Yep.
I don't know. And then also on top of it, for it to be that little that he gained from this, and especially, and like, I understand maybe if it was the first time he was in the apartment, but especially if he'd been there before, for he's gotta take a look around the joint if he's thinking of hitting it up, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, you gotta be sussing that out. Like, where would I go if I did this thing if he was there before?
Yeah.
So what else is he gaining from this besides putting himself at risk?
And it just seems like such a risk for such a little reward.
Yeah.
In that what he took from her wasn't much. So it just makes me wonder, like, did she refuse him and he got angry and killed right. her? And then it was like, well, I may as well take what I can grab really quickly now. Because it just, if the motive really was theft, I don't think he made out that well.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's awful. I don't mean that in any way other than like something isn't adding up here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so all of this is kind of going on. He spills his guts over this. He denies sexual assault, but he does admit to the murder. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But after he does admit all of this, and not only admits it, but like spells it out and like, here's,
this is what happened.
Like, I'm sure you're wondering how I got here, yeah. you know, and really lays it all out. He then, for some reason, decides to plead not guilty.
Brother.
I don't know.
He just wants a trial. He just wants attention.
And so he claimed to have been coerced in his confession, which has happened.
Yes.
So I'm not going to count that out and say that could never happen. No one would ever do that. No, people are fallible and that can happen. He also claimed that he didn't agree to be questioned. And his attorney made a good point. He said, quote, never in my knowledge has a man been arrested because of a vision. Which, fair? Okay, fair. To that, I say he was not arrested because of a vision, though.
Yeah.
The vision might have led the police to him, don't get me wrong. But the jewelry evidence of his girlfriend having the murder victim's jewelry, being yep. given it in the same month that the woman was murdered, and his just full-on admission of guilt is ultimately what got him arrested. It was not the vision. So, like, let's clear that up.
Right.
Like, that might have, like, led to him, but that wasn't it.
Yeah, and now there's other people corroborating that he had plans to see her that day. Like, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, and it's circumstantial, but it's really building.
And he admitted it, too. He was like, oh, I was supposed to be there to fix the yeah. TV. Well, you asshole, you didn't fix the TV. And then his girlfriend with the missing jewelry, but this jewelry is like also confirmed by her family who right. they've got no incentive to lie. You know what I mean? There's no benefit for them to be like, yes, this is her jewelry. And we know that, you know, her mom gave it. Like, they don't want an innocent man to go to prison. They want to get the person that took their loved one away.
Right. Because so, if they get this crime solved falsely, they're leaving that door open on her, basically. Yeah.
And like, okay, great, now her killer is still out there. Like, that's not what they want. So there's yeah. no benefit to them to lie about it. There's a benefit to Yanka to lie and say, oh no, I bought that jewelry for myself from right. a store. And she didn't do that. She said, no, he gave it to me in February. It was a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like, all of these things can kind of be traced together, and it just seems like a little weird. And also, Alan went with them willingly.
Yeah.
They were like, could you come to the station and talk to us? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he went himself. So it was not like, you're coming with me. It was, do you mind doing this? And he did it because he thinks he's clearing his name. And right. instead, they piece together evidence, and he's like, you're right. It was me. Like, you got me. Now, the first trial, and I say first because there were two, the first one ended in a hung jury.
Okay.
With some jurors unable to shake the doubt, just given the circumstances of how they got there in the first place. They just couldn't do it. So the judge deemed okay. it a mistrial, and they moved on. But the judge also encouraged that they try him again.
Yeah.
And the state has every right to do so. If it ends in a hung jury, you are able to try the person again. And that is what they did. And when they tried him a second time, this was in February of 1979, for some reason, this time he just pled guilty. I don't get it. Because then why... at that point, if you're having a second trial, like, you already kind of... you won one. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't get you. You got
this far.
Like, you were kind of halfway there. You know what I mean? Like, so...
yeah.
I don't know if humanity hit him and he didn't want to put the family through it, or he didn't want to put his girlfriend and, like, maybe right. their kid now through it. Like, I don't know. But... I'm assuming he reached some kind of plea because he was sentenced to only 14 years.
Huh?
It gets worse. 14 years for the murder and then 4 years each for robbery and arson, which is a sentence that many people would say is not nearly long enough for the brutal murder of uh-huh. a woman in her home. Under Illinois law, he would be eligible for parole in less than half of his sentence.
Right.
Those who criticize Remy's testimony... because many people criticize Remy's testimony, naturally. Claim that she was just in it to go after Alan. And I believe this is what his defense was really kind of pushing, was like, she had a vendetta against him and this is how she wielded it. Like, this mm-hmm. is what she did about it. And that he had actually launched a complaint against her at work due to something with, like, I don't know if it was because she wasn't showing up or she, like, wasn't doing what she needed to do, but... he was frustrated and he, like, complained to a boss about Remy's lack of work or something like that. And so I believe that she kind of got maybe scolded for that and there was bad blood. So they say that this motivated Remy to accuse him, and that with her knowing that he was due at the house, maybe, like, friends had talked about it, that she could have devised that. But that still doesn't explain the jewelry thing unless other people knew about the jewelry.
No.
It also doesn't explain the fact that his girlfriend had it. Like, not only that they knew it was missing, but, like, that his girlfriend was the one that had it. And before she knew anything, she was like, well, my boyfriend gave it to me for right. Christmas. So it wasn't like she was in on it. I don't believe that she was. So there's just...
well, and then you ask me, like, the only other thing that is interesting to me is the family members being able to identify it. Mm-hmm. And as... a woman, it sounds like she immigrated from the Philippines.
Yep,
like she was born there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The only thing that came to my mind on how they could frame him is if they made up family members that they got to confirm this. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound like that's the case. And also, then why is he admitting it?
Yeah.
And why is there physical evidence in his apartment that he gave to his girlfriend?
Yeah, and it's not like it was just they raided her jewelry box and they were like, oh, yeah, what's this? She's like,
right.
No, this he just gave these to me. Like, yeah. They're beautiful. They're mine.
Yeah.
And the family's like, no, those are the pieces that it's this one, and this one.
Yep.
And then Remy was like, yeah, there were three. You know what I mean? So it was like these numbers add up unless they're all in cahoots, which isn't impossible. I'm just saying I don't necessarily think it's super likely.
Right.
But... his defense team was really trying to kind of gun after Remy and, like, her reliability, which right. as they should, and, like, any defense team would do. You want to make sure that the witnesses, like, you have a right to see your accusers.
Yep.
And question them. And that is what his team had intended to do. Some even raised the question, were the Chuas involved with the murder itself?
Yeah.
You know, skeptics claim that Remy was full of it, of course. But it didn't really necessarily explain how she knew, except they might have had all the information if they were the ones that killed her.
Mm-hmm.
So people pointed to that. But even if the who was wrong, she got the how and the what.
Yep.
So she didn't know more than she should have. And a man ultimately admitted it, not just once during an interrogation, but twice when he pled guilty.
Yeah.
And as for their involvement, I will say investigators said they cleared the Chua family.
Okay.
I don't know what that meant. Like, if they confirmed that their alibis for the night that she died or something like that. But I mean, I'm choosing to believe that they were put on to talk to these people, that they would look into these people, and that once they determine, especially with such a wild case, like, what a story.
Yeah.
Oh, she talked to me in, like, pretty much in my sleep, and then I was in a trance-like state and told everything that happened. Like, your average cop is going to say, okay, so you knew the details of the murder. I'm going to look into you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you know things other people don't know about this. Why?
Like, Occam's razor, you're kind of going to probably try to assess that a little bit. So the fact that they were deemed to be cleared, I do put some weight in, because it would have been just as easy to slam dunk the case with it being them. Yeah. And they didn't seem to think that that was what happened. So I put a little stock in that, where I'm not accusing that. But there, I will say that apparently, you know, Remy had never experienced anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
She is said to never have experienced anything like this since. That this was a very isolated case, not isolated time, because it happened over a period of weeks and months, but that it never happened again with any other person.
Right.
Whether you believe that they were friendly with Teresita or they never met her before, I don't really know, but it wasn't like, it wasn't her twin sister.
Right.
You know, where you might, I don't know, think that there'd be a tighter bond and that there might have been more of like an intuition or anything like that. It was just strange that she knew all that.
Right.
Didn't happen before. Hadn't happened since. She knew a lot. The guy admitted it. And ultimately he was in prison. But the most upsetting part about this whole case is that, according to my sources, he was out in 4 years for good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
A man who already had a history of violence.
Yeah.
And who admitted to the violent murder of a woman over less than the equivalent of $200.
Yeah.
We're going to let him out in, I mean, I have more fingers on a hand than he did years. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's 5 minus 1. That's 4 years.
Yeah, this math ain't mathin.
No, it's not. And I don't, and I, that's, that is what the sources say.
I think,
and even if it was the full 14,
still not enough.
Only 14 years.
Still not enough. Yeah, I think the part of this that sticks out to me is even less so than the craziness of a ghost solving her own murder, which, like, first of all, snaps for Teresita, an overachiever in life, an overachiever in death, truly. Mm-hmm. But
that, to kill a not even 50-year-old woman for what?
For a couple $100 max.
Like, it's just, it makes no sense.
And then to admit it, and for them to be like, well, he did a great job not raping and stealing any of the other inmates' stuff. So mm-hmm. we're going to let him out. And we think that this is the right call, because he has shown that he is really nice when he's surrounded by a bunch of people who do really intense things. And a couple who got mixed up in, you know,
well,
justice system. And then,
right, yeah, his victim type isn't in prison with him. He's right. Going to be a model prisoner.
Of course.
And, you know, we say all of the time here, we're really big advocates for rehabilitation. Yeah. I actually very strongly believe in it. I know there's a lot of people that believe in the lock them up and throw away the key thing. That has never been my, that's not my philosophy. That's not how I'm wired. I am very treatment and education driven and giving people opportunities. But also, when somebody shows you time and time again this repeat violent behavior with no attempt to correct or mm-hmm. Like with no attempt to rehabilitate, there's something very frustrating about people. And a lot of times it's with really good intentions, that you can want rehabilitation for somebody so much, but if they don't want it for themselves, that's where it ends.
Right.
You're not effort and an acknowledgement, and because it is a battle and it is hard and it takes a lot of effort, and that effort cannot be put in by anybody other than the person who needs to put in the work. And so if he has not done any of those things and he is continuing to be violent, at that point you kind of have to listen to their autonomy and what they've decided they're going to continue to do.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, I don't know. If he had stayed in there longer, done some programs or whatever, showed any iota of remorse. Like, I didn't hear a sorry. I didn't hear a, I feel bad this happened. I was like, well, you got me.
But a woman, like, is still dead, and that has to count for something. And in 4 years, even 14 years?
14 years is a slap in the face.
You took her life. Like, she's dead because of you. This isn't a joke, and this wasn't accidental.
Nope.
This wasn't negligent. This wasn't an oops, like, an action that I did somehow mistakenly resulted in the death of somebody else. This was, you went there with the intent to kill her, you killed her, you stole from her, and then you destroyed her home and her body to try to alleviate yourself of any worry that there could be evidence left behind. And then you snuck out, and then you gifted what you stole from her to somebody else as if you're like this savior.
Right.
There are so many elements and layers to that that are evil. It's evil.
It is. And I think if we are thinking about nothing else, which it seems like we're thinking about nothing else, but if all we're thinking about is truly like whether or not they think he will be a threat to the public when he leaves, it doesn't matter if he sees somebody else that he's interested in. He's already proven multiple times to have assault behavior and murder, like violent behavior, as well as general disregard for other people's lives. He tried to set that building on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He, in fact, did.
On the 15th floor, like, countless other lives could have been lost.
Exactly. Like, just the pure dismissal of anybody else's worth or rights when it came to that alone. That alone.
Mm-hmm.
For him to...
Like, that arson should have... That could have been the 14 years.
Yeah.
Like, so, it's just... You know, what do you guys think? I don't know. We don't pretend to be authorities on this. Our opinions ebb and flow. You know, but the more information we get, our opinions change, right? That's life. I feel pretty strongly that 4 years for taking somebody's life as violently as he did is not nearly enough.
No.
It just isn't. And it's awful for her family. I mean, she wasn't married. She didn't have kids. I don't know if there were people in the States that were advocating for her the way that I would expect.
Right.
That bringing light to her case, and, you know, it depends on what you believe and what happens after we go. I think that the world is an incredibly crazy place. I think there are a lot more things that go on than we know. Won't get into all of it, but like, I really do believe that. Is this a case of that? I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like they knew way more than they should have, and the only person that could have known it, like, confirmed it. So,
yeah,
seems like something.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, there have been enough cases now that we've talked about where somebody has come to someone in a dream or in a vision or sort of in like a spiritual or kind of an out there way, that I have to believe there's some ability to do, if nothing else, just on the sheer numbers alone. Mm-hmm. But like, I also think that everything that we call science now was at one point magic that we couldn't explain. And then we just learned how to explain it. And so I think there's got to be so much more. Like, if you are science minded, right, there's always that question of what's bigger or what's smaller. Like, mm-hmm. we found the atom, but what makes up the atom? We've found the universe. Right. What's outside of that? So like, there's always that line of questioning of what's next. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see what in the next 50 years we can explain that today we think is nonsense or unexplainable. But in this specific case, I have a hard time believing that all of that information was just something they would know. Even if they were friendly with her, it's wild to me to like spit out a phone number of a relative. And if they weren't known to be close enough that like people weren't saying they were hanging out, I sure as shit don't have your family members' phone numbers memorized.
Right.
And I talk to them.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So like, it's crazy to me to be like, oh yeah, and this is their phone number. And then to to sort of dismiss that off as someone having a vendetta of some kind. Something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if they were involved with it, but it sounds like they weren't. I don't know if he told them things, or maybe if they were close enough with her that like they did feel an obligation to look into it themselves, and they thought they found something and that was their best way of telling it.
Yep. Without having to like clue admit in to any
looking into it.
Yeah. Or like throw somebody else under the bus if maybe somebody else gave them that information, that they were like, well, it's easier to just say it was
right.
You know, like they did get the information from someone, and
but they're not keeping their name out the damn mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like it is interesting. I don't discount it.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us. Yeah. I hate saying let us know in the comments. But really, no, I mean, on Spotify, you are able to do that. I know that's where most of you listen. If you want to send us an email instead, you can certainly do that too. But
yeah,
I would love to see what you guys think, because
spooky.
It's like, on one hand, do you think it can happen? And then second, do you think that's what happened here?
Yeah.
Like there's kind of two elements to it, in my opinion.
Yeah, because again, like if you think it can't happen, then the answer is no and no. But right. If you think it can happen, your second answer could still be no. And I want to know why.
Yeah.
Like,
and if it's yes, also why?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let me know. Are there other cases that are similar to this that you want to hear?
Do you have ghost stories you want to tell us? It is Halloween.
I know. Do you want us to do like, oh, we could do like a little listener tale?
Oh, that'd be so cute.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Let us know. You guys know how to reach us. And if you guys forgot, it's in our link tree down below, yes. You little stinkers.
It's down there. You could also find our Instagram where you'd see all the people, the places, and the things that we talked about. You could also find all of our sources always linked down below, either in a Google Doc named sources that you can get all of them, or just linked their own. You could find our PayPal or Venmo if you wanted to contribute fiscally to the pod, or you could find our little Redbubble if you wanted to find merch.
Which would be so sweet.
Be so cute. And no matter what, we'd love if you left us a 5-star review, if you left a little comment, just reached out. We are so happy to be back, and we are so excited to chat more with you. But in the meantime, if I do look at my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Spooky Halloween.
Spooky.